from Romans 10, 1 and 2. Out of the 26th chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 24, the Bible reads, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning to make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I, and accept these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them." The 28th verse says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Supporting scriptures, Romans 1 and 2, 10, 1 and 2, I'm sorry. "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning: convinced but not converted. Convinced but not converted. And I thank God, because I realize that it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that he's allowed us another opportunity to come into this place to magnify his name and to praise him and to worship him and to lift up his holy name. David said on one occasion, "This is the day that the Lord God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I don't know about you, but I got a lot to be glad about this morning. I'm glad that I'm yet counted amongst the living. I'm glad that God has given me another opportunity to stand this morning. I'm glad that even though I may have a couple of ailments here or there, it's no worse than what it is. Because when you look around, there's somebody in a worse condition than that you're in. So you ought to be able to tell God, "Lord, I thank God for what I am going through." There's somebody going through something that don't even realize that they're going through. But when you recognize that there's a God on your side, and when you read in the word of God and you're a true believer, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, that encourages our heart to go on and see what the end is going to be. I'm sure it's joy for you, the Bobo Beeks and Martin family, to come together in this time of celebration as you reminisce about your yesterdays and the things that you did as you grew up. And then you began to think about when we come together, how hard it was when you were coming up. But it didn't seem hard then, because you were family and you were molded and you had been taught that the family stays together and the family helps one another in good times and in bad times. And, you know, this is the time when all families ought to try to come together. You may not have an organized reunion, but you ought to be able to come together. And don't get fearful, don't get a little weary because everybody won't participate. You're never going to get participation from everybody, but you can't stop doing what you're doing, because it'll die. And if it died, you got some offspring, some more generations to come that won't know their loved ones. So it's very important. It's very important that all of us take an opportunity to share our love for our family, to just be there one for another. And then we ought to be able to say, just like this family this morning, "Look where he brought me from." The Lord God has brought you a mighty long way. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know that it hadn't always been easy, but there's always somebody in the midst that can tell God thank you. When we look around this morning in this house of worship, we see brothers and sisters that Jesus has instructed, not only to your neighbor, but he said also amongst yourselves, "Love ye one another as he has loved us." And as we began to think about this, we got to understand that Jesus says that it's a new commandment that I give unto you. A commandment is an order. It's an order from God. And that order should be respected. That order should be followed through. And when the Bible says that, he says, a new commandment that I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So what we have to do is be obedient to the word of God and to the love of Christ. There's nothing like feeling the presence of love. And, you know, we talked about on last week, there's nothing like real love, because real love will never die. And the love of Jesus the Christ, it will never die. The love that we're supposed to have for our family and for our friends, it should never die. I've heard and I read in the word of God that love is said to cover a multitude of sins. But the Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sometimes we begin to think like we're better than somebody else. Sometimes we think that our sin is not as bad as that person's sin over there, so God is going to bless us in a way that he's not going to bless them. But the Bible that I read said all unrighteousness is sin. So it does not matter whether you call it a little sin or a big sin. It doesn't matter. All sin is sin. Unrighteousness is sin. And there comes a time we must be fair with ourselves. If the Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what makes you think that you are exempt? There are some of us that think because we can say or get up and give a testimony, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I do this and I do that. Don't forget where you come from. Don't forget what caused you to be where you are right now. If it had not been for trials, tribulations, and trouble, some of us wouldn't be saved right now. If it wasn't for sickness, sometimes we wouldn't even call on the name of the Lord. But how many of you know that whenever trouble comes, if you hadn't been calling on God, you have a mind to call on the name of Jesus? Even in a time such as this, God still has all power. He is still working miracles. God is still a healer. God is still a keeper and a deliverer. There's somebody that's bound by their circumstance this morning, but they know God to be a God that can deliver them, a God that can bring them out, a God that can do what nobody else can do in their life. How many of you know that if you serve the mighty God, that God will open up some doors that have been closed in your faith? If you trust the power of a mighty God, the doctor can tell you one thing, but you can sit right there in that office and know that somebody higher than you, somebody that you yourself got to pray to, they are the one that made me from the dust of the ground. Breathe into my nostrils the breath of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. And then I became a living soul. I believe this morning is very, very important that every one of us have our own personal, individual relationship with God. You cannot know the peace and the strength of God unless you walk with him. You can't keep on talking about what mom and them said. You better know what God said to you yourself. The Bible declared that he will lead and direct your very path. But what you got to understand, that you got to hear what thus said the Lord. The Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But what you got to understand, you got to learn how to follow orders. If you don't follow the orders, it does no good. But if you follow the orders of God, the Bible declares he will lead and direct your very path. Even when the enemy throws everything up against you, you can go in this word of God and find that no weapon formed against me is able to perish. Because as long as I hold on to the power of my God, everything is going to be all right. See, I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God that in this walk of life, it's got to be more than a notion. It's got to be more than just a form of godliness. We got to stop just talking about what we heard. And it's got to be more than a zeal of God. What is Paul talking about? A zeal of God is when you know that God exists. A zeal of God is when you heard about God. A zeal of God is when you hear the testimony of a saint of God that said, the Lord brought me a mighty long way. When you hear a saint that said, I was down on my bed of affliction, and my God came into my sick room, touched my feeble body, got me up off of that bed one more time. And now I don't have just a zeal of God, but I've had a touch from God. I've had a relationship with God. It's not what nobody told me, but I found out for myself that God is a mighty good God.
Paul said, brother, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear the record that they have a zeal of God. But the Bible says, not according to knowledge. See, you got to know God for yourself. It's all right for somebody else to say, I know what God can do. But how many of you know that you got even more power when you know for yourself what God can do? I heard that God was a healer. But is anybody in the house this morning ever been down on your back and God stepped in your sick room, picked you up off of that bed, let you know that he's God all by himself? I stopped by to tell somebody that you got to trust the power of God. For God said in his word that you got to go beyond your own righteousness. See, sometimes we get all self-righteous and we begin to think we know more than anybody else. We think that we are better than everybody else. But I stopped by to tell you that just because you got a little salvation, you're no better than nobody else. For everybody that can say that they're saved, you don't have anything to boast about. For by grace are ye saved, not of any merits of your own. You didn't do what you had to do. But there was a God that sits high and he looks down low. I stopped by to tell somebody that you might be convinced, but you may not be converted yet. And I want to help somebody this morning get converted. I'm tired of people just going through the motion, talking about they love God and don't even love their brother. How can you love God whom you never see and hate your brother who you see every day? Oh, somebody need to help me. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, see, when you got a personal experience with the power of God, every now and again, you begin to think about what God has done. See, I'm not worried this morning about what he done for Jeter. I'm not worried about what he's going to do for Johnson. But I'm worried right now what you're going to do for Brookhaven. I need your God to step into my life. I need your God to take over this body of mine. The doctor said one thing, but I'm going to stand on the promise of God that the Lord will make a way out of no way. Any believers in the house? Because every now and again, because I got a personal relationship with the power of God, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that God has done for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you think about it? Think about it. What God has done. What God has done. Not for your neighbor sitting beside you, but think about what he's done for you. When I think about it, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God. Hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. But I want to know this morning, have you been convinced or have you been converted? Now let me slow down just 1 minute. Convinced. Convinced means to cause someone to believe or to feel a certain way. Convinced is also defined as to persuade. See, sometimes somebody may have to persuade you. It's amazing to me that God has been so good to us. And somebody got to convince you to tell God thank you. It amazes me this morning that when God woke you up this morning and started you on another day's journey, somebody got to persuade you to come together in worship and in praise. But I thank God for David. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Anybody got anything in their life that they want to tell God thank you for? If you're convinced, that means that you've been persuaded. But now converted means a change in which a person adopts a new belief. Change it from one state to another. So you got to get past convinced and get converted. Now, I wore myself out before I even got to the text. But I'm going to preach it anyhow. us up. There was a time in my life that I was convinced that God loved me. But then another time came when I got converted. Hallelujah, Jesus. And after my conversion, I found out that I was in the hand of a mighty God. And as long as I'm in God's hand, God said, no man is able to pluck me out. As we look at our text this morning, we're dealing with a man by the name of Paul. Paul realized that I got to do some things. He looked back over his life, realized that in the times of old, I persecuted the children of God. The Bible declares, when you look at the 26th chapter of Acts, Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before the touching of all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now what we have here is Paul is being imprisoned. Paul is up and he's trying to defend his very life. But right now, Paul stands in the front of King Agrippa. Paul realizes that I know where I come from. But I thank you, King, for giving me this opportunity to speak for myself. You see, there's some time that you got to have somebody to speak for you. And then there's some time that you can do more good by speaking for yourself. Now, I thank God for Brother Buzz over there because he's helped a whole lot of us get out of a whole lot of mess. But there come a time when Buzz can't help you. I don't care what courtroom you go to, he can't help you. I don't care what charge you got, he can't help you. But I know somebody that can help you out of any situation that you might have. But what you got to do is believe in the power of God. And then you got to know how to tell the truth. Paul says, look at my life, and I look at you. You're an expert. You know all the customs. You know all the answers to the questions. You know everything there is to know about the Jews. So I beseech you to hear me patiently. You know, sometimes we got to understand that when somebody got something serious going on, you can't give them half your attention. You got to really listen to what's being said. Paul says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation in Jerusalem, I was a Jew. And from the beginning, I would testify. And they thought that I even was a Pharisee. But now here I am standing in the front of you. I'm judged for the hope of promise made of God unto your fathers. Then he realized, why should it be a thought? Why is it incredible with you that God should be able to raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and they were put to death. I gave my voice against them. They killed them. I said that they was no good, and they heard everything that I had to say. I persecuted everybody that called on the name of Jesus. But let me tell you something, King Agrippa. One day, I was going down a street called Straight, and all of a sudden, something got a hold of me. I fell off of my beast, and when I fell down to the ground, I could not open up my eyes. Opened up my eyes, and all I could see was a bright light. And out of that light, I heard a voice crying out unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Those that were with me, they began to look and wonder. And they began to think, how is it that I hear a voice, but I don't see nobody? Saul got up and realized that I'm not able to see. So he asked the men, take me by my hand. Lead me into the city. Take me into where God told me to go. Anytime you do what God says do, God got a blessing in store for you. Because Saul found himself when he got where God told him to go that all of a sudden everything changed. The scale fell from his eyes and he got a new name. Now we refer to him as Brother Paul. Paul realized that I'm a child of the Almighty King. And I look here in the 16th verse. He said, but rise and stand upon thy feet. I appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and to witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. Paul had an opportunity to meet Jesus right there in the middle of the street. And after Paul met Jesus, you know, at one point he was convinced that there was a God somewhere. But on this great day, he got converted. He didn't have to be convinced anymore. He's now converted that there is a God. This God got so much power, he can take my very eyesight away. And in a matter of days, he can give it right back. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? He began to talk to King Agrippa, and he says unto King Agrippa that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and you should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now he gets a chance to make a personal appeal to Agrippa. He said, and thus spake for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou done got beside yourself. You're too smart for your own good. He said, so much learning have made thee mad. You ever seen folk that got so much sense they're crazy? Folk that's so intelligent but don't have common sense. They can ace a test but ain't got sense enough to walk across the street all by themselves. Because some tell them that I don't have to look to the left. I don't have to look to the right. Because I'm smart enough to hear the car when it comes. But there are some cars coming along that are not going to make a loud sound. There are some cars coming along that are going to catch you on your blind side. And if you ain't caught on your blind side, you're in a whole lot of trouble. But I stopped by to tell somebody this morning. When this man of God stood before the king. He said, King, I know you heard what the prophet said. I know you believe in the prophets, for the Bible says, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. In other words, I know you know about the law. I know you know about Jesus the Christ. I know you heard about what God can do. I know that y'all can make a way out of no way. But every now and again, when you back somebody up against the corner and they don't really want to be converted, they'll find a way to slide out. For King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In other words, you almost got my mind. You almost persuaded me to change my way of living. But because of those that are watching me, I can't very well say I believe in what you say. But then I can't say that I don't believe what you say. So I'm just going to play it off like a joke. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But I want to tell somebody this morning, just like Paul told King Agrippa, I would that God, not only that you almost, but everybody that hear the sound of my voice, that you will be converted, that you would be a Christian, that you would change from your wicked ways, that you would know God for yourself, to know the Lord will make a way out of no way. So I propose a question to you this morning. Are you convinced or have you been converted? If you've been converted this morning, then you know that the Lord is your guide. If you've been converted this morning, you know you got a doctor that never lost a case. If you've been converted this morning, you know that if you get bound and down and out, he will release you. He'll take the shackles off of you. He'll open up doors that have been closed in your face. He'll make a way out of no way. I thank God this morning that not only am I convinced, but I've been converted. I got my mind made up. For God I live, and for God I'll die. Anybody in the house this morning, do you have your mind made up? Have you been converted, or are you just convinced? I know that you know that there is a God, or you wouldn't be in the house of God. But are you converted to know that He is your Savior? He is your King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He'll do what nobody else can do. Trust the power of the mighty God, and God will do what He said that He'd do. The question this morning, are you convinced, or have you been converted? Don't be like King Agrippa, where he says, almost, you persuaded me. That's just like saying, I'm almost saved, but I just can't let go of this. Or I just can't let go of that. Don't worry about the can't let go. And just give your heart to the Lord. Those other things that you need to be delivered from in God's own time, if you be committed and faithful in prayer, God would take the taste away. He would take the desires away. And all of a sudden, you will have a brand new life. And in that new life, it means that you've been converted from your old way to a new way. You got a new way of looking at things. How many of you know that sometimes your way is not the best way? I don't care how many times you think you got it together. But when you try God's way, He always makes a way out of no way. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. Don't be like King Agrippa, whereas you still got some reservations. You almost persuaded me. But I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that I really got through to? I ain't talking to the almost ones now. But I'm talking to those that actually heard what thus says the Lord. God says that He wants you to be converted. He wants you to have more than just a zeal of God, but He wants you to come in full knowledge of Him. He wants you to not just go through the motions, because when you got a zeal, it just means that you know of Him, but you don't know Him. And the vast difference is just knowing Him for yourself, for yourself. And the way that you know Him and the way your neighbor know Him may be totally different. But don't you get discouraged because you don't act like your neighbor. You are not your neighbor. You're not going to feel, you're not going to hear, and you're not going to do what your neighbor does. You got to do it the way God gives it to you. If your neighbor don't understand it, don't sweat it. Pray and love ye one another. God understands everything that we're going through. And then when I look at this body of Christ, it is a blessing. All over this sanctuary, I see blessings of God. And don't let your blessings be in vain. Life is precious. And it's uncertain, because you don't know how long you're going to be here. But if from the time that you were born until this moment that you hear my voice right now, if you don't know Him for yourself, not through pastor, not through mom and grandma, not through mom and daddy, but do you know Him for yourself?